Hello, this is the Level 9 Podcast. I am Jesse, joined here with Alex and a special guest. Alex, how's it going?
Oh, I can't complain. It's going pretty well. How about you?
Oh, it's pretty good. And yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Can you guys still hear me?
We can hear you.
Yay! That's what we like to hear.
Today, we are going to be talking about our experiences with Cyberpunk 2077. Alex is on the Series X. I'm on the PlayStation 5. Eilish, I'm not sure what you are playing on.
So I have the Xbox One X.
Oh, okay. So we're kind of have opinions on all sorts of consoles here.
Oh, yeah. I think we have the full range at this point. And then I have friends who've been playing on PC, friends who've been playing on just about everything. And there's still some consistent ugliness with it across the board.
Yeah, they certainly have not had a very great time the last, 8-9 days now since releasing on the 10th?
The downfall, like, if you just watch, it was a graph, the spike would be so high, then just instantly drop. That's kind of how Starseed Project Red's last 10 days have been going.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really remember a game that launched with this sort of negativity and immediately just being removed from the PlayStation Store. Like, I think that's the first game that's actually been removed from the store due to the just the overwhelming negative comments and opinion towards the game.
That was such a wild nail in the coffin to see in the last couple of days. Because I know that as much as you're saying, like, this has got to be one of the worst critiqued games right off the bat, it's also one of the most hyped up that we've ever seen.
I mean, it certainly is. And I mean, CD Projekt Red has a good track record with the Witcher and kind of built all that goodwill, which, you know, got people all hyped up a little bit more for the game than other companies would. It took them, 7-8 years to come out with it? So there's quite a bit of high expectations.
Yeah, it was first announced in 2012 and took them 8 years to finally release it. I mean, there have been, I think, two or three delays of the launch date and then finally releasing on the 10th. And since then, it's just been, not a very good time for Project Red. What has been your experience so far, Alex? I'll let you go first. You are on the Series X.
Yeah, so I mean, I see all these, you know, things, bug compilations on YouTube and all that stuff, and I love watching them because bugs are hilarious. Doesn't matter what game you're in, they're fun to watch and see how they kind of break the game. But I haven't had too many bugs. Like, the game hasn't crashed on me at all. I haven't had anything kind of glitchy glitch me out of the game or make it that I can't advance any further. But I'm also not as far in as a lot of other people, so that could be why. But I haven't been really enjoying myself as much as I thought I would. It's probably part more of my schedule right now than anything that I haven't been able to just sit down and put 4 or 5 hours in a day. It's more like, okay, I have an hour, I can play here, I play, and then I have to log off, and then I'm kind of out. So the story's not really intriguing me to come back in, but that could be because I'm super busy right now.
Yeah, the night of the Game Awards, I stayed up until midnight to play Cyberpunk on the PS5. I created my character, went to bed, woke up the next morning, played 2 or 3 hours. I had a few bugs, but nothing really that concerning. I mean, it's an open world, massive game, so you expect that sort of thing. But then I had my first crash, which concerned me a little bit. And then an hour or two after that, I had another crash, so I just turned it off and haven't really played much since, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay. So I actually did the exact same thing, just obviously Xbox One X. And I waited, made my character, and then I had to go to sleep. And the next day I ended up playing a bunch of it. But for me, like, I noticed both that I didn't get into the game at first. Like, it took me fully until the heist to really get invested in it. So if anybody is kind of like not quite into it yet, you're still kind of questioning it, at least play through the heist to see if it ends up hooking you. Because I know that was the big one for me. But then I have been noticing a bunch of glitches. Like, typically it's kind of the funny stuff that you'd see the compilation videos of from like Skyrim, even, of like random guns and like little accessories and stuff kind of hovering in midair afterwards. I think I've crashed maybe 4 or 5 times in the last couple of weeks since I've had it, but typically it's happening after I've been playing for like 4 or 5 hours kind of thing. So I feel like it's just like my machine getting a bit tired of it and needing to reboot almost.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty good though. 4 or 5 hours of playing time before it crashes, like that's not that bad.
Like, oh, I mean, yeah, and it's not like every time or anything like that. It's just once in a while after I'll hit save, and it always seems for me to happen after saves at least. So I'll like respawn exactly where I was just after like restarting my console to make sure it's okay.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, and you're on the Xbox One X. So that's at least a good, like, if you have the original Xbox One, I'd probably be a bit more concerned. But this the Xbox One X is a pretty powerful console. So
yeah, it's been handling it just fine. Like, I know a lot of people are really disappointed right now because I keep seeing people kind of complaining about the graphic quality and that kind of thing on the last gen consoles. And I mean, sure, it doesn't look hyper realistic or anything, but it still looks damn good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Like, it's not like, you know, like blocky. It's not anything like that. It still looks fantastic. But I think, just the way they kind of marketed it, which, I mean, it's the marketing team's job to market the game and make it look as best as possible. You know what I mean? But them playing on the high end PCs, making it look absolutely mind blowing, kind of, I think, set the expectations for that. So I think that's kind of where people are a bit disappointed. But that's probably more on their fault than the marketing team's fault for that one.
Yeah, I mean, they've had several updates already since the 10th. I think they've had two or three smaller ones, and they have a big one planned for January and then another big one planned for February. Plus, they have yet to release the next-gen version, so there's still the Series X version and the PS5 version that has yet to be released. So I think I'm just going to hold off, wait until they fix what they can do, and then just play the next-gen version, and then hopefully it kind of sucks me in the way I was expecting it to originally before all these glitches and crashes happened.
It's kind of interesting to see though, because like I'm not sure if I've just been lucky, but not really have I seen that many glitches and crashes that truly affected my game. Like there's maybe been one during one of the early boss fights. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything, but like one of the early boss fights, you can glitch out of the arena if you kind of go towards the wrong wall, running at the wrong time, that kind of thing. But I feel like that's kind of, it's the sort of glitches that you see in just about any game. So I'm having a lot of trouble holding it against them.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like I haven't ran into any very game-breaking glitches either. Like I think I noticed one where, you know, the lockers around me just flew open and that was about it. But.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's that kind of thing. Like I remember when Skyrim came out, and even to this day, you still get all of these videos and compilations of all of these hilarious and weird glitches in something like Skyrim.
You're right. Like those are kind of part of Skyrim's charm at this point. So I wonder if, you know, like if CD Projekt Red can fix the crash and whatnot, if the glitches will be kind of become a part of the Cyberpunk universe, I guess, and kind of make it a charm.
Yeah, well. Exactly.
I think the crashing is the biggest concern at this point, and just the way that they were handling after release. Like we were talking before you came in here, Alex. Like we don't really hold the glitches and stuff against them. It's more how they've been handling the negative feedback and all that stuff that we're kind of a bit sour on. But
yeah, well, and I mean that whole thing that they had until, oh, what was it they said originally? Was it the 21st or the 23rd for refunds? And everyone was kind of going, well, what about everyone who has this, you know, wrapped as a present right now? What about everyone who's not noticing this? Like, I definitely felt it was really, really sketchy how they handled it, and especially that they didn't really seem to consult with Microsoft or Sony for their stores and removing it and getting refunds processed and that kind of thing. So I think it was a huge fumble on their part.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think I see a lot of people on Twitter attacking the developers, where I don't think it's as much as the developer's fault, more than the higher ups, you know, like the CEOs and stuff that run the company that kind of deserve more hate than the developers. So
yeah, I actually really wanted to bring that up with you guys, that it kind of becomes a chicken and egg problem where who do you end up blaming? Because obviously it's not the developers. They clearly tried their best. They were obviously rushing deadlines. I mean, that game had been pushed back how many times by the time we finally got here? But then you kind of look at the shareholders and the fans, that I feel like for the last 10 years or so, it's been this increasing pressure that fans want more and demand more, and then shareholders want to give it to them to get money. But who's fault is it when it comes down to it? And a huge game like this that I would say could be great ends up getting fumbled because of that pressure to get it out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I'm one that firmly believes that they sh- like they're putting a release date on a game is always risky for any company. So like if the game's like, obviously you never know when the game's truly gonna be ready, but like that came out with a release date, I think like 2 or 3 years ago, set the expectations, and then it got pushed back. People are like, okay, whatever. Then it gets pushed back again, then you're like, okay, something's wrong. But
yeah, exactly. I'd agree that like putting a release date on anything is probably a risky move at this point.
I'm sure they'll fix it. I have faith in CD Projekt Red to come make it the game that it's supposed to be. I mean, we've seen, you know, Fallout 76, for example, came out super buggy, no one wanted to play it, and now it's fantastic. No Man's Sky, same thing. Witcher 3 even launched when it was full of bugs, and it's still one of the best RPGs of all time. So CD Projekt Red's kind of been in this area, and they kind of know how to handle it a bit. So but like Jesse said, I'm going to give them a benefit of the doubt, wait till the next gen consoles, the next gen games launch, and then go from there.
Yeah, that's been another thing I've been noticing, is that people are kind of jumping on the hate on CDPR bandwagon of like, oh, they fumbled this, oh, it's terrible, oh, it's glitchy, and oh, we wouldn't be giving Bethesda or Ubisoft a break if they were in these shoes. But I feel like at the same time, there's a level here that people aren't acknowledging, that I don't think we've ever seen a game that was hyped up this much, not only by marketing, which was on CDPR, but also by fans. And like the fan expectations were sky high for this one. So they could have done some stuff to damper it, but I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that we would be riding Bethesda or Ubisoft or any of the other game developers, but at the same time, they've never had a release on this scale, I would argue.
Yeah, that's valid. I mean, you know, you could say Skyrim, arguably, maybe, but the fact that, yeah, I think it was more the fans that hyped themselves up way too much. Like, it was so much expectation that no matter how the game came, it was going to fail. It was never going to live to expectations regardless. If it was a perfect game with no glitches, nothing like that, it still would have failed. So,
yeah, I'm absolutely.
It's an impossible situation there.
Absolutely with you on that. Jesse, where are you on it though? Because I know you've been kind of quiet, and either you're grinding your teeth or you're agreeing with us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm this concerns me with like developers and developing games for all the consoles in between old gen and new gen, because it's just so difficult to develop a game for PC, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, and PS5, because then this sort of thing happens where you just spend so much time having to develop for all these different systems. And then if one thing goes wrong with one system, like it seems to be mostly the PlayStation 4 that's having a lot of the issues. I mean, they just took it off the PSN store. I think it's still on the Xbox store and Steam and everywhere
else. As far as I'm aware, it is. Yeah,
it still is. But the difference is there, Microsoft signed an exclusive marketing deal with Cyberpunk. So I don't think they'd want to go back and remove it from their store. You know what I mean? When they were talking about Cyberpunk, it was all plays best on Series X, plays best on Xbox. Like, it was just a whole marketing scheme around it. So I'm sure there's some contractual obligations there to fulfill.
Yeah, watching football on Thursday night, I saw two or three Cyberpunk commercials. I think that was the same day they actually removed it from the PSN store. And each time the commercial ended, it had the Xbox logo flash up. So you can tell they're certainly kind of geared more towards Microsoft. I mean, I'll be interested to see the approach that they take when they do eventually release it back onto the PlayStation Store and with the next gen version, to see like, what are they going to make it a discount? Or are they going to give it to us for free if we've already bought it? I still have it. I'm not going to refund it. Like I said, I'm just going to wait while they do their thing, update it however many times they need to, and then release it again with the current gen or the next gen, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say there are patches that are coming down. Like every few days I'll turn on my Xbox and I'll find it on the like updating kind of screen, just kind of doing its thing. So like the updates are coming down and there are gradual improvements. Like I think in a way, Jesse, it's really good that you and I didn't actually play it past character generation on that first night, because I know the first night I was seeing so many issues on social media with it. And even within 24 hours they had a patch through that made it, well, playable at least for most of us.
My friend and I pre-ordered, we like game share, so we split the price, and he changed his Xbox settings, so he was in New Zealand, but he lived in Hamilton, but he changed to New Zealand. So he was playing like 4 or 5 hours even before I could, and he was saying, man, this game is broken. Like, there was like, you couldn't see anything, the game was just glitched everywhere, because he obviously played it before the day one patch. But when I played it the next day, I was like, I don't see an issue with it, so.
Although, can we talk about the elephant in the room, shall we say, for the character generation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we're going with this. I think we had kind of a bitter conversation on Facebook yesterday about it. But
I was about to say, like, are we going to get into the whole genital customization that was a huge marketing point for them? And then I don't think it's a spoiler to say that most people have gone through character customization in some way or another. And it's not quite how I expected. I mean, I made a female character, and the options for women are very limited. I'm going to say that first of all. But then I also did kind of go into the male side of it, and it's definitely not as extreme as they made it out to be. Like, I was imagining some kind of Fallout 4 sculpt feature almost that was going to be completely ridiculous. And yeah, it's just like, it's a couple of options. Honestly, I think that's for the best, though.
Yeah, I mean, I get why they added it, but it's like, if you don't end up seeing it in the game, what's the point of even customizing it, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like,
whatever. That's what I was going to say, is that I've hit a couple of romantic scenes already, and nothing, like, it doesn't show anything, and it feels like it was just kind of clickbait for the sake of it, and I get why they did it for marketing, and I don't want to say it's a letdown, because again, it's probably for the best, but what's the point of having a feature like that if it's just, like, only applies when you're making your character, and that's literally it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, if the character customization is pretty intense, and like, I don't think they really need to add that if it's not going to be a main feature of the game. But yeah, I'm not sure. Like you said, it was marketing. Like, every article that popped up, I mean, I didn't click on every single one, but I did click on a few, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is the first game that's kind of done something like this. But yeah, it's just strange that, like, I haven't made it far enough in the game to see it, but you were kind of telling me nothing really shows up. So I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of disappointing.
No, it really doesn't. It really, really doesn't. So, I mean, I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure I'd say it's disappointing. It's just one of those kind of like, oh, I feel like you actually could have done something. Or like, for certain customizations, you could have had like a charisma bonus or a strength bonus or like an intelligence buff or something like that, that mm-hmm. if you chose correctly, or like you chose kind of these different combinations, it would result in things that would help or hinder you throughout the game. I think that would have been a hilarious way to approach it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they definitely could have played around with it and kind of had a bit more fun with it than just saying, oh, here you go, customize it this main screen, you'll never see it again. So I hope people didn't spend too much time thinking about those kind of things and spending like hours just to find the right, you know, size per se, et cetera.
there were enough options for sure.
That's fair. All right, Jesse, what the, yeah.
Continue. Yeah, I was just going to say, I spent about a half an hour customizing my character. I also made a female. She was just this badass female with slick back hair, and I was excited. She had tattoos all over her body. I was ready to dive in, and then you just never see them. It's a first person, so I mean aside from when you're driving, which I hope that in an update they make it a third person option, like where you can just switch in between, kind of like Grand Theft Auto.
I will say, playing as a female character, don't ask me how I know this, and don't ask me how far I've looked into it, there are some scenes that are different though. It's a fun YouTube rabbit hole to go down, but like how scenes play out if you are a woman versus how you're a guy, particularly the romance options, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it does give you the choice for which sex you'd rather go with in the game. And I'm not sure how I feel about it still. I mean, it's like, it just feels like there are limited options if you are only going for one or the other, if that makes sense.
Right. Interesting. Which, I mean, like, yeah, that's, I don't know how I feel about that one either. That's kind of hit or miss, I guess it all depends, but interesting. The female option's a bit different.
Oh yeah, like it's not extremely different, it's just like little things here and there that I went, hey, I wonder how this is as a male character, and then I search the scene and find it pretty much immediately, and yeah, there's little differences and stuff, which is, I just feel like they could have gone farther with it. Like, if you're gonna go that extra mile, you really have to go it, you can't go halfway with it.
Yeah, that's fair. Either go all in or you're not in at all type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, we can applaud the marketing team of CD Projekt Red, because they did an excellent job of just showcasing the gameplay and customization and making this game seem like some sort of turning point in video games. And so far, it hasn't really stood out very much.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, nothing. The marketing team gets paid to market the product, and they've done exactly what they were hired to do. So I can't really bash them too much. It's more, they did a fantastic job. I think they made profit in the first day of the game, which is crazy considering took them 8 years to make it. I'm sure they had quite a bit of a budget. So they're making a
But then
profit the first day.
how much have they lost on this now? Was it something like $1 billion?
Yeah, something. Yeah, I think I shared an article with both of you. It was like $1 billion for like their net worth was gone down $1 billion since the game's release, which is like $1 billion in like 9 days. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
and their shares have dropped about 40% as well too, which is just wild.
It's crazy. It's such an interesting story because they were like on cloud nine. Like they were like the company that everybody looked at for The Witcher and was like, man, these guys have something special. They'll do it, and then here we are.
They make EA and Ubisoft look pretty good.
Maybe not EA, but well, Ubisoft will agree with.
I was about to say, I think EA is a whole different can of worms and an entire different podcast that is just the three of us screaming for like an hour.
Yeah, pretty much. But we were talking about before Eilish that like this game, as much as it was hyped up, we don't think it's really gonna change the landscape of video games too much. Like it's the world's fine and all that stuff, but I don't think it's like anything game changing on that front. It'd be game changing on developers taking their time maybe for the games now because they see the backlash of what happens and things like that. But game wise, I don't think it's anything like that will, set the bar for the next RPGs at this point. We'll
Yeah,
see.
I'd agree
We'll
with
see. It's
that
still
for
early.
sure.
It certainly has the potential to, though, like going forward, I think, especially with the world. Because when I first played the world walking around Night City, it just seemed kind of empty and just dead. So I think they do have the pathway to kind of create something that we remember and not just for this just dumpster fire that has been the past like week and a half.
I mean, I think once they get it fixed, there's no doubt about it. It is going to be a great, great game. I'm not sure it's going to change the landscape, though. I think, honestly, they already did that with The Witcher because a lot of the features that everyone is loving and raving about, I mean, because there are still some features that people are on board with. But for me, a lot of it is just so reminiscent of The Witcher. Like everything to do with hacking is exactly like your signs. Everything to do with the city and the open world concept, it's Velen with buildings and technology. You know, like all of it feels vaguely reminiscent of that. So I feel like it was one of those things that they already managed to change the landscape originally, but for some reason, everyone kind of not slept on it a bit, but everyone didn't really acknowledge just how much that game had changed it. And so now we get one that they bragged about being game changing, and it's kind of just The Witcher gameplay wise.
Yeah,
I
within the
haven't played
first
any of
hour of
the Witcher.
playing Cyberpunk, one of the first side missions I came across was having to hand-to-hand combat these set of twins. And
Yeah, it was a Fists of Fury quest.
exactly, that's exactly what I was like. I've done this before in The Witcher 3. It seems like they're kind of just recycling old side missions that we praise and just kind of throwing it into the Cyberpunk, just kind of get that fire sparked again, which I kind of put a sour taste in my mouth. Next, we're going to be trying to find pans over Night City.
See, for me, I actually didn't mind it so much. Like, it didn't put a sour taste in my mouth or anything. In fact, it really helped me because I know how overwhelming, like, even for me, even having played Witcher 3, even that being my favorite game of all time that I play on a shamefully regular basis, like, I still felt so overwhelmed by everything and, like, so overwhelmed trying to figure out who was who, what allegiances were there, what the different gangs were, who they were all led by. Like, it's so overwhelming. So for me, it was actually kind of comforting to have something like a Fists of Fury quest that I was like, oh, I know exactly what this is. I know exactly what the beats of this are going to be. And I can kind of understand where it's going. And it's not totally unknown like 90% is.
Yeah, I mean that might be an episode for only you two guys because I don't know
Yeah.
much about The Witcher. So, but I agree with the overwhelming part. Like I'm all for games not hand holding and kind of figuring out yourself. But man, oh man, when I jumped into Cyberpunk, I was like, what is going on? There was just so much. Like it kind of the world kind of opens up pretty quick, so you can kind of do things. And I didn't really know like the I still don't know how to add like mods and stuff on my guns and all that stuff. Like it's just I'm sure I'll learn later on, but it was pretty overwhelming when I first got in, and I think that's probably another reason why I'm kind of like out of it because I'm like, I don't feel like learning a whole new system when I'm still playing Assassin's Creed at this point. So,
yeah, I played another side mission in Cyberpunk, and I didn't really know what I was doing. It just told me to go collect some evidence through an army of bad guys I had to shoot my way through. I collected the evidence. I got a notification that I leveled up, and that was pretty much it. I had no idea what I was doing or what I did, but I did it.
Yeah, you just kind of like run through certain areas, guns blazing, and hoping for the best, but not really knowing where you're going. I think that is one of the glitches that has kind of irritated me, is that it seems like on my mini map that I have on my screen, obviously it gives you the checkpoints of like, hey, this is the direction that you're supposed to go in. And as much as you say you don't like games that handhold, I kind of do, because I play for fun rather than to feel challenged, because that's just how I am. And for me, I find that the markers on the mini map glitch out so often, and they will default to quests that you're not even working on, like midway through a chase. They will move randomly, they will gesture to levels that aren't there, that kind of thing. That is the one glitch that has kind of bugged me.
Okay, so I'm not the only one that's experienced that. I didn't know that was a glitch or just the way the game worked, kind of forcing you to go down a different road. But I select like a side quest and then I'm following it and I end up at a completely different other side quest. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not just been you on that one.
Okay, well, that's been good to know, because I was kind of getting a little irritated by it. Like you said, I'm like, oh, this side quest sounds interesting, I'll go do it. And then I get brought to a completely different side quest by following the marker. And I'm like, I did not choose this one.
Yeah, I think you just have to kind of be careful to read what quest you're doing kind of under your mini map, because it always lists it and it always says what objective you're going towards. I know for me, it kind of trained me to carefully read that, especially if I get kind of a like almost freeze frame effect and then it like the marker switches. I know to double check and make sure it's actually still going towards the right thing.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I should definitely, when I jump back in, probably after the holidays, I'll looking to doing that a bit more.
I think the funniest glitch for me that I experienced was early on when you have to save that droid in the bathtub. You have to shoot your way through first. And I was shooting a bunch of enemies in a room, made it through, had to search an area, and I kept hearing somebody angrily screaming at me as if they were still in combat, and I looked over and it was just some guy hunched over who I had shot already, and he was just constantly repeating the same aggressive phrase at me, which it made me laugh early on.
I've gotten a couple of those for sure, and it always catches you off guard and like it's terrifying when it happens. But no, that's definitely one I've gotten.
Those type of glitches, I think, are way more fun, like, are funny than, and, like, more entertaining than just kind of, not even worth complaining about. It's more just, like, you know, it adds it to the charm of the game, those kind of ones. So, I'm glad you guys both have that, we're able to experience those.
Keeps you on your toes a little bit, but I do want to say, like, this is one of the good things to come out of it, is that stupid sound whenever you're spotted, when you're in stealth, the, like, weird kind of chunky alert that it gives you, that thing is going to haunt my nightmares.
that's fair. Yeah, that, definitely. I did the training and that happened a couple times, and still ingrained in my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I think for me, just the glitches are fine for me, because most of the time you just laugh at them off and then you go you move on. But I've had I think three crashing in the span of 4 or 5 hours, and it just completely takes you out of the game. You're just mid like conversation or gunfight or whatever you're doing, driving through Night City, and then all of a sudden it freezes, crashes, and then you're just like, ugh, and then you're just deflated. You have to load it back up from wherever your last save was and just do it all again. And like I said, that happened to me, I think, three times in the span of maybe 5 or 6 hours. So I think that's the biggest issue for me, was just the crashing.
That's fair. That would definitely take me out of the game, especially like if you've done a mission and like you're just about to finish and you gotta restart all over again because you didn't get to a save point. That would drive me nuts. The one good thing that I think will come out of this, like we kind of mentioned, is developers are now probably more on their toes now, probably a bit more careful about announcing release dates, or, you know, making sure they actually launch a finished game or one that's playable at least. So that's one good thing that's probably going to change the landscape in that sort of sense. But hopefully they can pick it up and make it the game that everybody was expecting at launch.
Well, yeah, and more than that, I mean, now shareholders will have something tangible that when the developers go to them and say, no, this isn't a realistic timeline, and look at what happened to CD Projekt Red when they tried to rush a deadline. So it might legitimately help developers get their way with deadlines and kind of pushing them and understanding that good games and good things like this do take time. And even when they do come out, no game is perfect from day one, I don't think.
No, it's almost impossible to get a game perfect because one, especially multiplayer games, like the stress test on the servers for one, like I know everybody complains when a multiplayer game comes out, fix your servers, you knew the game was coming out, but you can never prepare for the amount of people that jump on the server until the crash happens, right? So just hopefully in the future, like, developers will take their time a little bit more and realize, okay, it's not ready to be showing it, so we're not even gonna bother showing it. People know it's coming, and if we don't put a release date on it, then they won't have expectations. And then when we do announce it and say it's ready to go, like announce it like a month before it comes out, and then people will be super hyped. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Although it does bring up an interesting point that I just completely forgot, like as I said that out loud. Right. When it comes to multiplayer, there have been rumors that CDPR is going to try and work it in for Cyberpunk. How do you two feel about that? Because I'm definitely not sold on it, even just from the gameplay and stuff. I'm like, it's not their style and I don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think the first thing is first, I need to fix the game, make sure it's playable in the single player. But if they do multiplayer, I think the way that I would do it would be more kind of like a GTA multiplayer where it's like role playing where like everybody can kind of, you can kind of have a role in Night City and kind of just, you know, play your character as that. And, you know, like if you're a chef or something in Night City, you can go to work every day and buy a house and like just, you know, they kind of create just your own character and role play. That's what I would ideally think the multiplayer should be. That'd probably be attracting me a little bit more. If it's more PvP or anything, nah, not my thing.
Yeah, I know they had rumored to include multiplayer, and then I read, I think it was yesterday, that they're putting a pause on that development until everything gets fixed with the base game so far, because personally, I'm terrified of any thought of multiplayer being integrated with Cyberpunk just because the launch was just so, just a disaster. So I know multiplayer takes a lot more to kind of make that all work with the servers and getting everything according to plan. So, I mean, I just want them to focus on the main game first, and then in 6 months or a year, maybe they can start kind of figuring out multiplayer.
Yeah, it's probably a little risky for them to do multiplayer too, because they're known for a single player company, like single player games. So maybe just stick to your bread and butter, and people know who CD Projekt Red is. We all know it's big open world single player games. And if you kind of throw multiplayer in there, like Cyberpunk isn't a game that needs multiplayer per se. It's something that you could, if you do it in there, like the only other way would be, like I said, GTA, but I kind of agree with Eilish and you, Jesse, that they should just focus on the main game and maybe stick to their bread and butter and let somebody else, let another company maybe focus on the multiplayer aspect thing for Cyberpunk if they do that, kind of hire a third company to kind of make that one that's not experienced making multiplayer.
I mean, it certainly has the possibilities of being something exciting and different if they can figure out a way to make it work upon launch and not having it just be just similar to the launch of Cyberpunk where it's just a mess. So, I mean, maybe it could, like, I mean, Grand Theft Auto, when it first came out with online, it pretty much blew the doors off of what online was at the time. And it's still supported to this day. I mean, it came out in, what, 2013?
Yeah.
Still supported.
I feel like it's the exception and not the rule, though. Like, I'm not sure, and I definitely share Alex's concerns of, like, they are a single-player company, so the idea of them doing Cyberpunk as a multiplayer, like, I'm not sure how it would work, and I feel like they'd have to do something so different with it that they'd have to be back to page one, essentially. So I'm not really sure. I just see the benefit of it other than another marketing tactic for them, basically.
I'm sure you guys are, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, but they came out saying, when Cyberpunk's done, we're going to start working on The Witcher 4. So,
I'm not even thinking about Witcher 4 right now, because they cannot mess up The Witcher 4. If they do that, I'm putting a controller down and just taking up a new
You're
hobby.
Stepping away from it.
They can't ruin that for me.
For me, that's my problem with Witcher 4 is that they'd have to do like an entire other aspect of that series, because, I mean, no spoilers, but anybody who's tried The Witcher 3 and has played it right through to the end of Blood and Wine, there is no better way to end that story. And so I literally just don't want them to screw with it. Like, I was so happy at the end of Blood and Wine. I want to replay that game a million times, but I don't want a new version of it, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want them to suddenly continue that story again for the sake of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I also love that ending. I remember playing it for the first time, and what happens happens, and I it was just like, that was an excellent ending. It's one of my favorite endings in any video game. But I mean, I definitely don't want them, I agree, I don't want them to take more from that story. That story is told and done. Maybe something with Ciri, maybe a new Witcher, maybe I'm sure
they come out and call that
Geralt's story
is
over. I think they said that Geralt's story is over and the next one will focus on something else. So
yeah, I could see them doing one of the other Witcher schools or something. I think that would be a neat angle to take on it. But again, at a certain point, like, it just feels like a cash grab. I feel like that entire arc, they did it so well. There's obviously the entire book series that precedes it. So I'm just like, I'm not sure why they'd continue it at this point. I want to see what they have next after Cyberpunk that isn't Witcher related.
I mean, we probably won't see that game until like 2032.
Oh, God, no.
Cyberpunk took. But
we won't see it until 2077.
Right? That's when, yeah, exactly. That's when Cyberpunk could have been delayed till.
Well, speaking of upcoming games, I think we wanted to talk about our most favorite games announced for 2021.
We can do that and maybe like throw in a wish list, like one game or one thing you want to see happen in 2021 that has not been announced yet.
Personally, my most anticipated game coming up next year that's been announced anyway is probably Ratchet and Clank. I know it's not this massive game or series, but I mean, I've been playing them since I think 2002, 2003. So one of my first...
Nice.
Yeah, they were one of the first games that kind of introduced me to video games, and I've played each Ratchet & Clank from the PS2, 3, 4, and the 5 coming up. So, I mean, that's one that I'm certainly hyped up for. And then Horizon Forbidden West, just because when that came out, it kind of changed open world games for the PlayStation, and I'm excited to see how they kind of take it. It has been announced for the PS4 as well, which kind of concerns me a little bit, but I'm optimistic that they'll be able to make it work.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair. And if you had like one wish list item you could throw in 2021, like one that hasn't been announced yet or one that you like you just want so bad that you're gonna kind of wish into existence.
Oh, that would have to be God of War Ragnarok. I mean, I know they haven't I know that's slated for 2021, but they haven't officially announced it, so I'm hoping we get some sort of announcement soon about that, because so far we haven't really had a trailer or anything. We've just had a brief flash of a logo with Kratos narrating over top of it. So once I saw that, I was sold.
That's fair. That's fair. How about you, Eilish?
Oh my God, there are so many things I want next year. So first of all, the Horizon series, that is literally my one regret in not getting a PlayStation, because it looks amazing. For me, the top of my list right now, I mean, the Mass Effect Legendary that's going to be coming out, I think in January even. Like, that's going to be incredible. For me, I couldn't get into Mass Effect, and I've had a lot of friends who are super into that series say that they are fixing a lot of the original hangups in the game that might make it a little bit easier to get into. So, yeah, I think, Alex, you might have been the one to be like, yeah, it's going to be good. So I think for me, that's one of the ones at the top of my list. Also, apparently there's an Evil Dead game coming out next year. Right, and, like, I
cannot wait for that.
Right? I'm like, I loved Evil Dead. I love Bruce Campbell. He is in it. He is reprising his role as Ash naturally. And I'm just so excited to see how ridiculous and how out there it is. Because that series always ends up taking directions that you don't expect that are very exciting.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm not one to Evil Dead, but that trailer definitely got me interested into it. So definitely going to look into that. Now, if you had like a wish list one, which one would it be if you could wish anything into existence in 2021?
So there are actually two, and they are definitely like long shot wishes rather than anything that's been announced or even teased at this point. So first of all, Outer Worlds, they literally just put out a DLC called Attack on Gorgon, I think it was named, yeah. And it's fantastic. So for me, it would be like another DLC from them just to flesh out that world a little bit more, maybe get another planet in there. I would absolutely love that. And the other one, it's kind of similar to Jesse's Ratchet and Clank. Like for me as a kid, the game that got me into games was actually SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. And they just reissued. Yeah, they just reissued it this past year. And it was so much fun over the summer going back and playing that again. But in that series, they made one that was SpongeBob the movie, the game, and I preferred it to Battle for Bikini Bottom. So I'm kind of hoping that THQ, now that they've kind of opened that portal and now that they've opened that vault and they've done Battle for Bikini Bottom, they might revise SpongeBob the movie, the game, because I loved it so much.
Yeah, I mean, the THQ is a company that kind of throws things out of the left field. No one sees anything coming from THQ, so I would not be surprised. And SpongeBob, the remaster, kind of sold pretty well, so who knows? They may maybe have one in the works there.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed both SpongeBob games, like the movie and Battle for Bikini Bottom, but I think Lights, Camera, Pants was my favorite one. It was like just because I'm a sports guy, and it was kind of like an Olympic theme thing, so...
I was about to say, I don't think I ever played that one. I think I stuck to SpongeBob, the movie, the game, and Battle for Bikini Bottom. But like I said, yeah, I think that would be my wish list for sure. How about you, Alex? Because we haven't heard your list yet.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody knows how much I love Mass Effect. It's my favorite game series. So Legendary Edition is definitely the number one on my list there. Even the last couple of weeks, and like I've just been thinking, I'm like, man, I want to go back and play Mass Effect so bad. This one, to me, it's one of those feel-good games where it's like, I just kind of get immersed in the world and just kind of forget about you know, everything that's happening, and with 2020, the way it's shaping up, it's kind of just like, okay, need to get escaped for a little bit, so, but I haven't done that yet, because I know the Legendary Edition's coming up, and I cannot go through one again, just because it's so outdated, so I'm hoping that Legendary Collection fixes that, which I'm sure it will. So that's definitely number one on my list. The other one I'm really looking forward to, honestly, is probably Halo. Halo was a game that I remember that was my first experience with multiplayer, online multiplayer. It was Halo 2 at my cousin's house. And then all my friends on Xbox, like, that's a game that we will all get together for, always find time to play Halo. Whereas, like, you know, one of my friends can be a father in March, and one's like just finishing school. So right now we don't have time to play. But when Halo comes, we're already planning on getting the squad back together and go in. So that's definitely one I'm looking forward to as well. And then number one on my wish list, that's a tough one. I do really, really want to see, obviously, more on the new Mass Effect game, but I don't think we'll see that for a little bit. Maybe an announcement like a release date for Fable, so I can at least kind of set my expectations to see what I can expect from that. That's probably the number one.
Oh, that would be fun.
Right? And, I mean, just like I think I've watched that trailer four or five times just to kind of like decipher what I can see in there, and I think it's going to be fantastic. So a release date for Fable, and another one would probably be I wouldn't mind the Dragon Age remastered either, with all the four Dragon Age games, or three Dragon Age games, and the fourth one is coming out eventually, so maybe they do a remastered there for EA too and get all those ones together, because the first one's, it's fun to go back, but it's unplayable, like Mass Effect to me anyways. It's just janky and buggy, so that's another one there.
I think we need more Alan Wake in 2021. It's been however many years since they released it on the 360, so quite a while ago. And I know in Control they kind of introduced it a little bit there with the same universe and that sort of thing, so I think they've kind of opened the doors for Alan Wake to kind of make a comeback.
Speaking of Alan Wake, I'd seen that it was added to Game Pass the other day, so I know you have Game Pass on your phone now, Jesse, so you can go through Alan Wake now.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be diving back into that world. I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories in any video game. It's just so strange and mysterious, and I just love it. So I'm hoping we get something, because, I mean, like I said, it was in Control, so I'm thinking they kind of tease the waters a little bit. So hopefully we get a little something more, maybe a remastered even. I would be excited for that, especially on PlayStation.
Xbox is starting to bring back all the fan favorites with Perfect Dark. You got Halo. You got Fable coming now. Like, all the fan favorites are starting to make an appearance again. So you never know. It could be in the works. We're just going to announce our plans for 2021. We've got some big plans.
Yeah. Did you want to?
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. I mean, in 2021, obviously this is our last episode of 2020, but I'm sure we'll still be posting on Twitter and, you know, making other content, but we're actually planning on launching a YouTube channel where most of our podcasts are going to be live now. So we're going to record live on YouTube instead of using Podbean, which is what we normally use. And we're going to start uploading some gameplay and maybe just kind of make some fun videos for people. And we're expecting to get some guests, bigger names in the video game industry on the podcast as well. I think you already reached out to a couple, Jesse. So
yeah, we're hoping to get one. For the first episode of 2021, at least, just to kind of start off the new year with a bang, since 2020 has just kind of thrown a grenade into everybody's plans and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and career plans and everything like that. So kind of start 2021 off, like you said, with a bang, and hopefully we can bring some started off on a good foot. So hopefully we have that kind of plan for you. And Alex, we would love if you would join us again another time. It's always great talking to you. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anytime you guys want. And literally anytime you want to talk about The Witcher 3, you know me, I will not shut up about it. So please. Yeah. Feel free.
Yeah. I'm writing down Witcher 3 episode now.
Awesome.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be an episode on our YouTube channel where you and Jesse just play through The Witcher 3 together.
Some of our favorite quests and stuff. Cause oh boy, we could talk about that for hours.
I just played it on the PS5. Yeah, or even like a few nights ago, and it looked a lot better. Like the frame rate has been boosted a little bit too. I was kind of surprised that there was an upgrade to it. Yeah. So.
Ooh, excellent. I guess last question, super quick, because I will save most of it for the Witcher podcast. What's your favorite side quest?
Oh God. I mean, I love Gwent. I can play Gwent. Witcher 3 to me is essentially a Gwent game with a Witcher 3 side profile to it. As soon as I jump in, I'm like, all right, which mission do I need to do to get this card? And I'm traveling here to play this guy. He's taking his card. And then I'm just constantly talking to everybody, waiting for that option where I can make Geralt ask if they want to play Gwent. So anything Gwent related, probably the Gwent tournaments, because they're just so fun and they just suck up so much of your time trying to beat the next person.
Amazing. Okay, I have like 10 other questions, but I think we can save those.
That sounds good. We will certainly have a Witcher 3 episode. And like Alex said, you have been a terrific our guest, our first guest too.
Yay, I'm so happy.
Yeah, so thank you very much for listening. This has been the fifth episode now. It's kind of flying by on us. The last episode of 2020. Hope everyone has a safe holiday, and we will see you all in 2021.
Happy New Year.